You are over all, O God. Open our eyes to see your hand and increase our faith to believe the truth that everything has always been in your hand and we are in your hand. And in Jesus Christ, our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And so let us live according to the truth of the victory that we are in your hands. That the name of Jesus might be praised, we pray. Amen. Continue our focus on Easter, the death and resurrection of Jesus today in Romans chapter 6, beginning with verse 1. In the cross and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we see the two great realities, and they are death and life. Death and life. Our Savior came to this earth not for himself, but for us. Our God decided that our rebellion against him was not going to be the last word. It was not going to be allowed to stand. It didn't please our God to be without his people. And Jesus came and he stretched himself out to his enemies, us, the Roman Empire, the Jews, the Gentiles. They all conspired as the enemies of the Son of God. In the Gospel of Mark, we're told that the shepherd struck the sheep and the sheep were scattered and he was left alone. That's what the Gospel of Mark says. What Jesus had to do for us to have any hope, he could only do all by himself. We couldn't contribute anything to our salvation except ourselves as those who needed to be saved. And so Jesus stretched himself out and exposed himself to all that we, his enemies, could do to him. And we could do a lot. We could kill him. We could bring death to him. And we did. For a little while. For as long as he decided to take it. He was submitting himself to death, and he did die. But he was taking it on. He was saying, give me your best shot. And death did. But the Bible says it couldn't make it stick. It couldn't keep him. The grave couldn't hold him. It tried to, but it couldn't. And God raised him from the dead. And last week we explored one of those magnificent accounts of his post-resurrection appearances, which was as strange as it could be. And as soon as they recognized him in the Lord's Supper, he vanished from their sight. And we could see how he was preparing us to live, not die, but live when he's not in our sights. He's not bodily available to us, but he's with us. The resurrection of Jesus has more meaning, though, than the killing of death ultimately. It has more meaning than the securing of eternal life for us, although that's a big deal. It means that if and when the grave gets me or gets you, and I hope it won't. I hope Jesus will come back today and spoil our meal. But if he doesn't and death gets us or someone you love, it won't be able to keep them, won't be able to keep you or me, just like it couldn't keep Jesus, because the Bible says we're in Jesus, and so death can't keep us. But the resurrection has more power to give than that of raising us from the dead later. It's life-giving now. And Paul had to teach that to the church that was at Rome because they were busy doing what all of the churches that we learn about in the New Testament do, and all of the churches that have ever been do. We don't make the best use of what is ours in the gospel. We have to learn to lay hold of what was purchased for us on that cross. And at the church at Rome, a church that it was a mixed church of Jews and Gentiles, and the Jews believed rightly that because they were Jews, they were in a position to know way more about the things of God than these newly converted Gentiles. And they rightly thought that they were special people, the chosen people, the specially blessed people, because they, not other nations, had been given the law and the prophets. And they were dead right about that. But what they were wrong about was this. They were wrong about the status of the Gentiles who came into the church through conversion to Jesus Christ. Those who repented of their sins and expressed their faith in Jesus Christ. And in doing that, they were reckoned righteous before a holy God. And the Jews believed that they had a superior status, but that was not so. And in believing that, they wrongly made the great mistake that the church has repeatedly made and that we are tempted to repeatedly make. And it is the mistake that the righteousness by which we're saved has ever been or was ever meant to be something that we bring to the table. It was never meant to be that. Our status before God from the beginning in the Garden of Eden has always depended on God's grace. Adam and Eve didn't bring something to God that God then was pleased with, and then they received His favor and could think of themselves, know themselves to be His children. That never happened. They awakened in being created by God to the status before God that all human beings are meant to have, and that can only come one way. They were awakened to those who had been created and blessed by a Creator because of His goodness and His power and His wisdom. And what went wrong was that they began to want to be like God. They wanted to take that fruit and know good and evil. And boy, hasn't that worked out? We know evil now, don't we? We know it, don't we? Don't you wish we didn't? Don't you wish we'd never known it? And a time is coming where it will be gone. In heaven, it won't be that we're so righteous in ourselves, which we've never been and never could be and never were meant to be, that now